Series on Christian beliefs, and we come today to regeneration. So before we look at that, let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for that great promise that we just heard, that you are in the business of making all things new. We pray that you will help us to understand what that means for us and for our world now, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look out at our world and the people in them, we see that our lives are seriously flawed. A look at Friday's paper, and one could read of the ongoing trial of Rolf Harris on child sex abuse charges. It was in the mid-80s when I was working for DOCS, Community Services, that I attended the 6th International Congress on Child Abuse and Neglect. The opening session was held at the Sydney Opera House, and it was opened by none other than Rolf Harris, because he was the epitome of a fine, upstanding citizen. The outward image, it seems, can easily cover a deceitful and rebellious heart, if the allegations are true. We also heard later on Friday of the sentencing of Robert Hughes, the star of Hey Dad, also for child sex offences. On another page, you could read of our jails exceeding the 10,000 mark and what could be done to stem the tide of crime and our people going to prison. If you turn to the sports pages, there you would have found coverage of rugby league's potential state of origin halfback, Mitchell Pearce, and his misdemeanours at a Sydney nightclub. All of this in just one news day. Of course, it is not just the famous whose lives are flawed. We only have to take a good look at ourselves to know that we humans are complex. And if the acts and the thoughts of which we are ashamed just from this past week, let alone further afield, were written all over our walls here, and we went around reading them, how shocked would we be? But it is not only our lives that are flawed. The world in which we live is flawed. There are floods and tsunamis, earthquakes, hurricanes and cyclones which cause havoc. We are starting to feel the effects of global warming. Our forests are being torn down for firewood. We destroy habitats in the search for alternative medicines. We think nothing of polluting our streets, our wilderness areas, even the air that we breathe. It is no wonder that Romans 8 tells us that the whole of creation was subjected to frustration and that the whole of creation is in bondage to decay and that it has been groaning like in the pains of childbirth right up until the present time. Yes, we only have to look at ourselves or our world to know that renewal is needed. And this renewal is what we may call regeneration. But before we look to the answer, let's look at why we are in such a predicament. For our lives, and indeed our world, weren't always like that. For as we look at the grand sweep of the Bible, we see firstly generation. Generation. In Genesis chapter 2, the creation of the world and everything in it can be called generation. The world is generated. It comes into being by God's mighty act. He speaks and it comes into play. Genesis 2 verse 4, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. This generation, this creation, when God looked out and saw it all, he said, we read, that it was very good. At the generation of Adam and Eve, they were in perfect relationship. They were both naked and they felt no shame. So chapter 2, verse 25 tells us. Yes, friends, that is how it was in the beginning. A perfect world, perfect relationships. It was very good. But it didn't stay that way for long. For after Genesis 2 comes Genesis 3. And so we see that after generation comes degeneration. For in chapter 3 is recorded for us the fall of man. And so after eating of the fruit of the forbidden tree, it is recorded that they were still naked But they realised this and felt shame and so sewed fig leaves together as coverings. All wasn't well in the garden, and they hid themselves from God. And the sin of Adam and Eve soon escalates. We read of Cain killing his brother Abel. We read of the godly man Noah in a drunken stupor with sexual overtones. We read of the arrogance of thinking that a civilization were gods themselves who could build a tower to reach up to the heavens. And prior to Noah, it was summed up like this. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil all the time. God's perfect generation had now become degeneration. And the sin of Adam and Eve ended up harming not only themselves, but also the whole of creation, as it is subjected to futility by the judgment of God, as Romans 8 tells us. The third part of the picture, though, is God's answer. And this answer really unfolds in the rest of the Bible. We have a few chapters where we see generation and degeneration, but the regeneration takes up the rest of the biblical story. It's the story of the regeneration of individuals. But not only that, it's the story of the regeneration of the whole world. Without delay, God sets in motion his rescue plan, his plan of redemption, his plan of regeneration. And we see this foretold in the writings of the prophets, who pronounce that the whole universe will be regenerated. So we read in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, a vision concerning the future state that will be. And so we read, the vision that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established at the top of the mountains and will be raised above the hills. All nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us about his ways so that we may walk in his paths. For instruction will go out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will settle disputes among the nations and provide arbitration for many peoples. They will turn their swords into ploughs and their spears into pruning knives. Nations will not take up the sword against other nations, and they will never again train for war. In this prophecy, the nations are going to stream to a new temple. The temple will be made new. And people in this future will walk in God's paths, and nation will not take up sword against nation. And this picture of regeneration is taken up further in Isaiah chapter 35. And so reading verses 1 and 2. The wilderness and the dry land will be glad. The desert will rejoice and blossom like a rose. It will blossom abundantly and will also rejoice with joy and singing. Instead of groaning, creation will be joyful and singing. And this symbolic picture of future generation continues in verse 5, where we read, then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will sing for joy, for water will gush in the wilderness and streams in the desert. A picture of a parched desert. Once the rain comes and it replenishes, it regenerates everything. And then in verse 10, and the redeemed of the Lord will return and come to Zion with singing, crowned with unending joy. Joy and gladness will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This future picture of what God will be doing doesn't involve sorrow. It doesn't involve the groaning. It doesn't involve that pain. But joy and gladness and sorrow and sighing running away. See, in this prophecy, Isaiah speaks of a time when the ravages of the fall, when the ravages of degeneration will be done away with. In symbolic language, individuals will be renewed and the whole of creation will be renewed. The ravages of the fall in the lives of people and in creation will be cast aside. And Isaiah goes on to speak further of the regeneration of the whole of creation in chapter 65. So reading verses 17 to 19. For I will create a new heaven and a new earth. The past events will not be remembered or come to mind. Then be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I will create Jerusalem to be a joy and its people to be a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will no longer be heard in her. Well, Isaiah speaks of the regeneration of the whole of creation. The prophet Jeremiah, one book past Isaiah, so you can flick there if you've been following Isaiah, speaks of an inner regeneration, a regeneration of the heart. And so in the famous verses from chapter 31, from verse 31, look, the days are coming. This is the Lord's declaration, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. This one will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant they broke, even though I had married them, the Lord's declaration. Instead, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my teaching within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the prophet Ezekiel speaks in a similar fashion in chapter 36 from verses 25 to 27. I will also sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. This is not just some outward change, it's renewal from within, regeneration. The prophets then speak of a time of regeneration for God's people and for all of creation. And friends, the change that comes when a person becomes a Christian is a part of that. We don't just look at it in isolation. See, isn't it wonderful that the changed lives that God brings is just a part of the whole process of renewing not just individuals, not just communities, but indeed the whole cosmos? What does it mean for us to become regenerate? When a person becomes a Christian, they are being regenerated. They are being born again. They are being changed from within. They are given a new heart that is impossible for us to do for ourselves. And so Titus chapter 3 verse 5. He saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And the scriptures tell us that this change comes about not by our efforts, but by our union with Christ. Because he is the object of our regeneration. He is the means by which it happens. And so three important facts. Firstly, Galatians chapter 2 verses 19 and 20 tell us that we have been crucified with Christ. For through the law I have died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Romans 6, 4 and 5 tells us that we have been buried with Christ. Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. And Ephesians 2, 5 and 6 tells us that we have been raised with Christ and are sitting with him now in the heavenly places. He made us alive with the Messiah even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. Together with Christ Jesus, he also raised us up and seated us in the heavens, so we read. And as the scriptural witness continues to unfold, the climax of regeneration is seen in the new heavens and the new earth of Revelation 21 and 22. And we have that great declaration that was read for us in chapter 21, verse 5. See, I am making all things new. And then in that wonderful passage of chapter 22, again symbolizing the future regeneration, we read, then he showed me the river of living water, sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the broad street of the city. The tree of life was on both sides of the river, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for healing the nations, and there will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his slaves will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night will no longer exist, and people will not need lamplight or sunlight, because the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. God's regenerate world has him and the Lamb clearly at the center, reigning forever. So friends, if you long for regeneration, if you are longing to be made new, you know the sinfulness of your own heart, where are you going to look? Not to your own efforts. Not to a self-help group. Not to books that tell you how you can change your life. But to the Lord Jesus Christ. When Nicodemus asked Jesus in John chapter 3 how anyone could be made new, how anyone could be born again, Jesus answered by saying that it is the work of the Spirit that brings about this new birth. It's impossible to achieve by our own efforts. And so at this point, for those of us who are Christian, we must be thankful, as we were reminded by our bishop last week, Sunday night, if you were there. We must be thankful, for it is impossible to bring about our own regeneration. God has worked in your life. What a wonderful gift. And let's say thanks. God initiates this regeneration. But we respond. We respond by faith. Jesus in John 3 goes on to speak of the need to respond in faith to the work of regeneration in our lives. And so two things. If you haven't yet placed your faith in the Lord Jesus and you want to be made new, then it is to him that you must go. For there is no other way to be born again. There is no other way to be made new. There is no other way to be regenerate. And secondly, once you have responded in that way, go on living a life of faith. And responding by faith will shape everything. What we do with our time. What we do in our relationships and how we treat one another. What we do with our money. And it will shape our priorities. Been challenged of late to think about our priorities as a church. Well, what should they be? we have the words of eternal life, which can bring regeneration in those individuals we meet day by day, week by week. It can change a community. It can bring a total change from within, a change of heart, a change from death to life, a change from our bodies withering away to the hope of a new and glorified body. Friends, 86% of us voted to adopt the Borden Report. And at the end of June, we will be having a service here where we will confess our lack of concern to reach out to those around us and ask for God's help to enable us to take the message of regeneration to our community. What a message it is! We should be excited by the prospects. Someone said to you, well, what's the Christian message? Well, you can answer that in a lot of ways. But one way is to say the Christian message is that God wants to make all things, including you, new. And for us, when we are changed by the Spirit of God, we are swept up into His grand purposes, which is making all things new. And so 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, this is your verse for the week. Write it out. Put it on the fridge. Put it on your notice board. Put it on your phone. Have a look at it when you're catching the train into work. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. That's great news, isn't it? It's a great encouragement. You might look as if you're on your last legs. You may be on your last legs. But if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The new has come and will be brought to fruition either when Jesus comes back or He calls you to Himself in glory. Now the emphasis in this verse is actually on the new creation. And the object of this is the work of Christ. But this will work itself out subjectively as we bring forth changed lives. Are you regenerate? Is there evidence that you are being made new? Well, the regeneration will be seen in the way that we live. So Titus chapter 3, 4 to 7. But when the kindness of God our Saviour and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. He poured out this Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that having been justified by His grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. We have been renewed by the Holy Spirit. And will continue to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. He is at work in us. And we see the evidence of that in the way that we live. So doing good works is not just about moralism, preaching morality, but it flows out of the gospel that God is making all things new. Because Jesus died and rose. And we too will do the same. Our growing in godliness will prepare us for the life that we live in eternity with our Heavenly Father. This growth prepares us for heaven so that we are fit to be there and so we can enjoy it when we arrive. Faith in Jesus Christ is truly radical and life-changing. Come to Jesus and you will never be the same again. You will be made new. And our regeneration will be concluded with our bodily resurrection. There are some theologians that want to tell you that the resurrection was just a spiritual one, and spiritually, in one sense, we rise. No, we believe in the resurrection of the body, so we say when we say the creed. And our future existence will involve new and glorious bodies. And many of us are thankful for that. We won't be spending an eternity as disembodied souls with only the odd cloud or two for support. We will be there with a new and glorified body. Yes, all things shall be made new. And this regeneration happened when Jesus died and rose again. But we live in the overlap of the ages. For in the meantime, life goes on. And we struggle and groan along with the rest of creation as we wait for Jesus' return and the redemption of our bodies and the redemption of the world. But we know that that regeneration will be made complete one day. And so as we persevere in a fallen world, we look to Christ, who is the new creation for us. And we move towards the goal, which is to be made like him in the universal new creation. And we live godly lives, not so that we can be made new, but because we have been made new, and knowing that on that day, our renewal will be complete. Praise be to that great God who has promised, "Behold, I am making all things new." Amen.